Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. I'm one of your hosts for tonight. My name is Kelton, and I've got three phenomenal people here with me. Going to the south of me, over in South Carolina, we got Brooks. Brooks, good evening.
Good evening from Chucktown, South Kakalaki.
I'm not even going to try to repeat it. I'll just mess it up. Going up, we're going to swing up north to our New England host, Kara. Kara, good evening to you.
Hello. I'm going to try and live up to that phenomenal adjective tonight. Thank you.
That's for that. It. You know, it'll be less of that and more of some really bad dad jokes coming across here. And then down in the great state of Florida, we've got our Florida resident host, Steph. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here, Kelton.
That's good. That's good. Because we've got a great episode for you guys tonight. But before we get into it, we got to talk about the bear in the room or the bear on the island. So this, of course, will be dropping on Wednesday morning. So you'll be hearing us on Wednesday, your drive to work or in the kitchen or doing yard work like I do when I listen. But Monday the 18th, I think all of us may have just been on the app, but nobody could figure out why the whole west side of Magic Kingdom was shut down. And honestly, I mean, we started seeing pictures in like our agency Facebook group about just Tomorrowland is just slammed with people. And honestly, I couldn't bear it anymore. I had to figure out why this was happening.
I mean, it had to be unbearable being there.
Oh my gosh. I think it was horrible, but at least I'm hoping people had shoes on because I knew I couldn't be walking barefoot with it. That was a really bad one. But for those who don't know, from what I found, and the research I did, they were getting ready to open Tom Sawyer's Island, and a cast member found a bear in the caves.
Can you imagine?
No. I mean, no. I've seen everything else, but a bear?
No.
I mean, I've heard about Disney ducks, but Disney bears?
Yeah.
It's, see, my thought was, and this is what I was telling a coworker at work today, that, you know, they heard last week from the D23 and Josh Damaro talking about all the different things coming in. And I think he honestly was just there to protest the change of Country Bear Jamboree. He couldn't bear it. He couldn't bear to see it change.
Maybe he was there to audition.
Yeah, see, Kelton, I knew that was going to be your take. My take was this was his chance. First time they're ever making changes to Country Bear, and he said, I got to get in there.
I got to go do it.
I got to grab, I only get one shot, you know?
Maybe he was trying to make his way down. Main Street, where they do the self portraits.
Oh my gosh.
I want to know what your theories are on how the bear got through without a park reservation into Magic Kingdom. Any theories? This is important.
I wanted to know how he got across on the raft with nobody noticing.
That is very true. I mean, bears are pretty good swimmers, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very good swimmers.
But you got to think about it. I mean, okay, so he obviously didn't wander through the front gate because, you know, no ticket. I mean, the fingerprint scanners were down, and we know they don't have fingerprints either.
Maybe he was the reason why he couldn't get it to work. Scanners so he just were down? Knocked it out.
That very well could be. But anyway, yeah, there was a bear inside the Magic Kingdom at Disney World today.
So I couldn't decide who I felt worse for, the guests or the cast members, because, man, it's just one of those things. Like, you can't plan for that, or you can't, you know, kind of like predict it. And it's just one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, they got to shut down half the park. Does that stink? It absolutely does. But Kelton, as you know better than anybody, Disney safety overrides everything. Including show. So sorry, but they're not going to have somebody get, you know, attacked by a bear in their park. Like, it's just not going to happen.
And Kelton, I have to know, is there anywhere in the Disney employee handbook about bears?
Is there now. Well, I mean, so it's not specific to, like, you know, there's not a chapter for bears. There's not a chapter for alligators. Yeah. There's not a chapter for ducks.
Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised there's not one for alligators.
Yeah.
Being in Florida.
That is prevalent. Well,
you know, that's why there's all the fences and everything. Mm. And, you know, and
alligators can climb fences.
Now, okay, side note. I have actually seen this before. I was driving to work in a very remote part of Florida. It's happened
in my neighborhood.
Have you seen it too?
Yes, in my neighborhood.
No, I've never seen him climb a wood fence. I've seen him climb an 8-foot chain link fence before.
No, wood fence. A gentleman that I know that posted a picture of the alligator just chilling on his front porch. He did not go outside that day.
I'll just stay here in Jersey, thanks. Snow is lovely. I don't need gators climbing fences. Yikes.
I'll take the gators, the bears, and the Disney ducks any day over snow.
Now, we did have a bear in our, it didn't go through our backyard, but it was right over the fence in a tree right behind our house. So we do have that. But
didn't climb. Coincidentally, there was actually a crocodile spotted today at my local beach.
Crocodile or alligator?
Sorry, alligator. You're right, alligator.
I was going to say, I mean, I do believe there are actually some crocs that are down in Florida. Oof. Like, you know, because Steph, you're right there kind of by the Everglades. So there's everything in the Everglades.
Yeah. And not that I'd be, you know, differentiating between the two as I'm running. It's a big bitey thing. I'm just going to go in the other direction.
Well, but you know how to tell them apart, though, right?
The A snout is the crocodile, counterintuitively. And
no, there's actually a much easier way. See, one will see you later and one will see after a while.
Yeah, there's that too.
So I know you guys just can't bear it anymore. So we're going to go ahead and get off the topic. And we're moving on to actually why we have gathered here tonight.
We're here to talk about Chiro Bear now coming on Disney Plus.
Brooks, stop it.
It's unbearable. I'm sorry.
You got one last one. I'll give you one last one. Make it good. Nothing?
Just a That's pause. All right.
What kind of
Kara job? In for the swing.
What kind of job is. Did the alligator have on the police force? An investigator. Waka, waka, waka.
Waka, waka, waka.
I had to bring in Fozzie Bear.
So, we've gathered here tonight to discuss one of the other portions of the Disney company. And we're going to focus on Disneyland and California Adventure. Now, Kara was lucky enough to just return a few weeks back from Disneyland. So honestly, I mean, Kara, the show is yours. You're, you know, she's going to give us a little bit of a brief overview on Disneyland as a whole, the hotels, both Disneyland and California Adventure, and just everything. So Kara, I'm going to turn it over to you. And can you tell us about Disneyland?
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, you know, I want to hear whatever questions you guys have about it too. So yeah, Disneyland. You know, it's funny. I'll start as high level as you possibly can because there are people who don't know the difference. Disneyland is in California. Disney World is in Florida. So when people think Disney, I think the vast majority of people tend to think of Disney World. It is the biggest, it's the, you know, kind of the destination, especially internationally. But Disneyland is the original. Disneyland is affectionately referred to as Walt's Park because that's the one he built, the one he was there for, the one he envisioned. It's a really, really special place. So, and I can't emphasize enough, you know, I've been going to Disney World since the 70s. I love it. I consider myself a worlder, but the trip to Disneyland is worth it. It's not like you're going to go out there and be like, yeah, I've seen all this before. Some of it will be very familiar, but there is so much that's different. And it's totally, totally worth the trip out there. So really high level, Disneyland consists of two parks, as Kelton mentioned, which one just called Disneyland. And then the other is California Adventure. And there are three Disney hotels. The Disneyland Hotel, the Grand Californian, and Paradise Pier, which is actually literally in the process of turning into Pixar Place. So they're retheming that all Pixar, which is going to be really cute. So all of those are right there, walking distance to the parks. Grand Californian, if you looked at a map, it is essentially in California Adventure. I mean, it literally backs up. Like, there would be times we'd be in California Adventure, we kind of look up and be like, oh, look, there's our hotel. I mean, it's right there. You can't get closer. And there's an entrance.
So you can have like actual rooms kind of like, you know, where you can see just out and over into. That's really cool.
Theme park view and then downtown Disney view. Oh, that's the other thing. There's also downtown Disney, which is still called downtown Disney. In Disney World, it's been changed to Disney Springs. In Disneyland, it is still downtown Disney. And that kind of runs the length of California Adventure and leads you into both parks. So park hopping, oh my God, park hopping at Disneyland, I mean, it literally could not be easier. You walk, you look on one side, there's the gates to Disneyland. You look on the other side, there's the gates to California Adventure. There might be 50 yards between them. It's absolutely amazing. So probably one of the biggest things I think of when I think of Disneyland is convenience. I mean, it just could not be more convenient. Now, you do miss out on the transportation that we all love. If you've listened to our transportation episode, you know how much we love the buses and Skyliner and the boats and all of that. But this is, it's all about walking. Now, there is a monorail. It is not quite as, doesn't serve the function of literal transportation quite as much as the one in Disney World does. It's almost like a ride, sort of. So anyway, the three Disney hotels, and then there are a bunch of Good Neighbor hotels. Kelton, I believe you said 39?
39, correct.
That's a lot. So Disney World, so once Walt built Disneyland, you know, we all learn, obviously, as we do things, he learned, well, I need more room, which is why when he bought the land for Disney World, he bought so much of it, because that was his least favorite thing about Disneyland was it's so blocked in, like he couldn't expand anywhere, and that drove him nuts. So Disney World, he's just got a ton of land. But that's also, again, what makes Disneyland convenient is everything is so kind of compact. And those Good Neighbor hotels, there are several that you can walk from those as well. So it's not like, oh, we're off property, we've got to, you know, figure out how to get there. You can literally walk across the street into, like, you know, the downtown Disney area and get into the park. So very convenient. And convenience is one of the biggest things I think of when I think of Disneyland. If I have somebody who's never been to Disney before, either location, and they're a little, you know, overwhelmed, you know, I'll suggest Disneyland. I'll say, listen, if you just want to dip your toe in, you know, you just kind of want to get a feel. You want, you want to go see Mickey. You want to do some of it, but you want, you know, a little more manageable. Do Disneyland, you know, and especially depending if they're kind of West Coast, if they're kind of middle of the country, and it's not, you know, it's not as far to get there. I mean, you know, it's, I believe for us here in Jersey, we go to Newark. It's a 6-hour flight there, and then like a 5.5-hour flight home. Totally doable, you know, even if you are in this part of the country. So
that's still a long flight.
It, well,
five
Listen, I'm used to the 17 and a half hour drive to Disney World, so that still to me is like...
That's real short then.
Fine. Yeah, exactly. And again, worth it. So the other thing I think of when I think of Disneyland is charm. Again, this is Walt's Park, and I mean, it you know, I know I'm me and you guys and some of the Disney diehards, when it comes to Walt, we get very like... You know, we love him. Anything having to do with Walt, we're all about it. You know, so if that's you, you have to go. I mean, you just have to. I knew this would happen, and it did when I first walked onto Main Street USA and I saw the fire station, and you look up and you see his lamp and it's on. I teared up. I mean, you just can't. So the story behind that is when Disneyland was built, they built Walt an apartment above the firehouse where he and Lily and the family would stay. Sometimes, you know, he'd stay right there in the park. And after he passed away, they turned on his lamp. And it's always on to remind people that he's still there. His presence is still there. And even when it was shut down for COVID for so very long, his lamp stayed on every day. So again, it's just, he's there, and it's just, if that's a big deal goosebumps. To you, yeah.
I was just about to say, I'm getting goosebumps too.
Right. So imagine being there. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm trying to kind of hold back tears a little bit here. So anyway, so to get a little more specific into the parks, again, a lot of it's so familiar. Yes, there's a Main Street USA. It's a little bit different. The castle is much smaller. I tried not to be one of those worlders that was like, that's it. Cause it is. I mean, it's cute. It's little, but it's great.
Cute. And
one of the best, but what I love about it is you can go up in it. It's an attraction in itself. You can walk up in and through it, and it tells the story of Sleeping Beauty, cause it's Sleeping Beauty Castle there. We have Cinderella Castle, and it tells the story of Sleeping Beauty in these little vignettes. It's really cool. So that's just a really neat thing to be able to do. You know, you can't walk up through our castle unless you're going to Cinderella's Royal Table. So Disneyland, go ahead.
Sorry, do they have an equivalent to Cinderella's Royal Castle or Royal Table at Disneyland or no?
I mean, they have character dining. Their princess dining is at the Grand Californian at a restaurant called Napa Rose. They have quite a bit less character dining. There's only one character dining experience in a park, and that is Plaza Inn in Disneyland. And it's hosted by Minnie Mouse. And the funny thing about that was I felt like the characters just kept coming. It was like, I don't know. And I don't think they're quite as hard and fast as, you know, oh, it's definitely going to be this, this, and this. It's like, here came Daisy, and here was Chip and Dale, and oh, and who's here? Susie and Perla, and there's Tigger, and there's Pooh. I mean, they're just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe that's always who it is.
It's almost like a character roulette.
Yeah, it was like, oh, there, here comes another one, you know? So, and that's only for breakfast. And that's the only one in the park. So then the princesses are at Napa Rose. And then there's a really great character dining also in the Grand Californian called Storytellers with Mickey, Minnie, Chip and Dale, and Pluto. We love that one. And then there's one at Disneyland Hotel called Goofy's Kitchen. Obviously Goofy, and you know, kind of like those main guys. So all good. But yeah, it's just like everything else. There's much less of it than there is in Disney World. So anyway, I'll try not to talk about Fantasyland for too long, but I just absolutely love it. Fantasyland in Disneyland is exactly what Fantasyland should be. It's awesome. I love it. It's so storybook. It's so charming. It's so detailed and just awesome. You've still got Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I mean, that right there.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm getting on a flight. I'm getting on a 6-hour flight. Like, I don't, you know, Alice in Wonderland. Amazing. Right next to the teacups, of course. You've got Peter Pan. You've still got Snow White. They changed it from Snow White's Scary Adventure to Snow White's Enchanted Witch. And you've got Pinocchio's Daring Adventure. I mean, these are like 6 dark rides that are just so classic Disney and so awesome. And then you've got the teacups, Dumbo, you know, those kinds of things. And then they also have the canal, the storybook land canal boats, which are super cool, where you go into Monstro's mouth, Monstro from Pinocchio, and then you've got Casey Jr.'s train. It's just what it should be. It's exactly what it should be. I love it. I wish we could pick it up and bring it to Disney World, and then everything would be perfect. But anyway, and then
they don't have Winnie the Pooh over at Fantasyland in Disneyland, correct?
Not in Fantasyland. It's in Critter Country. They do have it. Oh no,
and that's where bears belong.
Yeah,
not on Tom Sawyer's Island.
Where they should be, correct.
I'm thinking Winnie the Pooh and Fantasyland, so I apologize I cut you short.
Oh, no. That's
fine. Like trying to picture it in my mind right now.
And see, so, and this is exactly what it is. There's so much that's similar or kind of the same, but it's a little different, you know? So you've got Maelstrom right there. Again, cannot get more classic Disney. I did not go on it. I knew my back wouldn't be able to take it, but the boys did. They loved it. Tomorrowland. It used to have a people mover. It doesn't anymore. Space Mountain is different. It's a two-seater, unlike our one-seater. So again, these little differences. So that is Disneyland. And then you've got California Adventure. I love California Adventure. I think it's super cool. Probably my favorite part of it is Pixar Pier, which is, you've probably seen pictures of it. That's where the big Mickey Mouse Ferris wheel is and the big white roller coaster, like old-fashioned wooden roller coaster, used to be called California Screamin'. Now it's the Incredicoaster, all Incredibles themed. So that whole area obviously is Pixar. That's where Toy Story Midway Mania is. Totally different, you know, from a Hollywood Studios type thing. They've got Marvel there. They've got Avengers Campus with Spider-Man, and they rethemed Tower of Terror to Guardians of the Galaxy. Also did not go on that one. But my husband really liked it. He said, actually, it seemed more mild to him. He didn't think you dropped quite as far. And he also said it kind of gets right to it. Like when you go on Tower of Terror, you go through, there's so much theming and you go through the whole thing and it's this whole story. And by the time you finally get to, you know, the dropping, he's like, no. There, it's like you get on and it's like, okay, this little thing, and then you just start. it's just so much of it is so unique because it's like nothing we have here. So they have Grizzly Peak, which is their water ride, Grizzly River Run. Again, where bears belong. It's a very bear-themed type area. There's a whole redwood like play area. You know, obviously they're getting into the whole really California thing. They do have Soarin' there, which I was a little confused. If you ask me, I feel like it should be the OG Soarin' over California all the time. It's not. It's the Soarin' over the world, which I'm like, not only are we in California, we're in California Adventure. This seems so obvious to me that it should be the California one, but it's not. I think it is. I think it's seasonal. I think they do have it for part of the year, not when we were there. So the Haunted Mansion, different, but the same. So like so much that's similar, but not exactly the same. So to get to kind of our experience with this, we stayed this time at the Disneyland Hotel. We stayed last year when we went, we stayed at Grand Californian. This time we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. Both awesome. If you were to say, which did you like better? I can't, like, you know, they're both so great in such different ways. Grand Californian is so gorgeous, and it's kind of like a mix between Wilderness Lodge and Grand Floridian. Like if you smashed those two together, I mean, beautiful. It's incredible. And then Disneyland Hotel, you cannot get more classic Disney vibes than this place. Kind of like mid-century modern, and like the Frontier Tower, the Fantasy Tower, and the Adventure Tower. The pools are so cool. It's the E-ticket pool and the D-ticket pool. The slides are the monorail slides. Like, so cool. Our room was really big. We were in the Frontier Tower. People always talk about this. My boys loved it. There's a headboard in the Disneyland Hotel rooms that light up. You flick a little switch and it plays music, and it's the castle and it's fireworks. It's so cool. And the coolest thing about it is you can leave it on all night, and it's almost like a nightlight. It's like just enough. It's come on, who doesn't want to sleep in a room with a fireworks headboard? It's incredible. So yeah, we really, really liked it. It is a little bit further, I will say that. So Grand Californian, again, practically in California Adventure. It does have its own entrance into it. I kind of timed it very loosely as we were walking from the parks. I would kind of notice, okay, this is where we would turn to go into Grand Californian and then see how much further we were walking to go to the Disneyland Hotel. Right about 10 minutes, maybe, if that. Maybe like 8. Now I will say, when it's noon and the sun is beating down and you're in downtown Disney and it's just pavement and it's like, yeah, it's like it makes a difference. It's like, boy, that would have been nice to just go to Grand Californian right there. But no, it was great. It was worth it. We really liked staying at Disneyland Hotel. My boys loved the pools, loved the slides. Oh, and the other cool thing about Disneyland Hotel, it's this weird kind of, my husband mentioned contemporary. It didn't give me contemporary vibes. I mean, I could see where he was getting that, but it's more of a mid-century modern. But then it's got this vibe of the Polynesian because you've got the original Trader Sam's there. So you've got Trader Sam's, you've got tiki torches, you've got this whole kind of Polynesian vibe on like one side of like where the pools are. So there's that too. So it's, again, such classic Disney, you know. And we actually, I was so happy. We happened to, a reservation popped up for Trader Sam's while we were there and we were able to go, which I did not expect to be able to do. So that was, I've never been to the Trader Sam's. Have you guys in Disney World?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never been to that one. Even we've stayed at Polynesian a bunch of times for whatever reason, we've never been there. So I was really excited to get to go to the original, and that was a lot of fun. So this with booking Disneyland, it's the same. Like if you book a package, whether at one of the Disney hotels or even at one of the Good Neighbor hotels, you can book your hotel and ticket package, and it works the same as Disney World. It's the flat $200 deposit. You have, and then 30 days, your balance is due, or you can cancel for a full refund. Same thing. The Good Neighbor hotels in Disneyland function much closer to like just a regular Disney hotel than they do in Disney World. It's the ones in Disney World are, it's almost like this dotted line. They're a little, you know, they don't work quite the same, but in Disneyland, it's very, very similar to just booking a Disney hotel. Now, one thing that is a little different is as you're getting close to your trip, Disneyland will send you a email 4 days ahead of time being like, okay, you can download your e-tickets. So that's something you have to do. Like you still need to link your reservation and all that to the Disneyland app, but you still have to download your tickets. So Disneyland is just starting to do Magic Bands. Well, not just starting, but they have Magic Bands now. However, you can use them as your ticket to get into the parks and as your Lightning Lanes to get into Lightning Lanes. That's basically it. And they light up and they, you know, vibrate and all that. They're not a room key. You cannot charge to them. And I gotta be honest, I guess I'm spoiled. I don't know, but that drives me a little crazy. I cannot wait for Disneyland Magic Bands to catch up to what we have in Disney World, because it's just so much more convenient. I am so used to having everything on my wrist. Like my husband was like, wait, I have to bring the room key too? Like it's just one more thing to think about. You know what I mean? So they do have the Magic Bands. I still recommend getting them because it's still nice to be able to like tap in and stuff. But I cannot wait for their Magic Bands to catch up to ours.
Their Fast Pass or their app, and for those that can't see me, I use quotes, is also different from Walt Disney World, correct?
So it's a separate app. Disney World has the My Disney Experience app. Disneyland is the My Disneyland app. So yeah, so you'll want that, you know, download it on your phone. It's also free once you book your package and everything with one of us. You'll want to, you know, link your confirmation and all of that, and it'll show your hotel. But like I said, again, you're gonna have to do the whole ticket thing. But then yeah, it works, you know, GD Plus, Lightning Lane, dining reservations, all of that you do through the app. Now, Genie Plus, it's funny because when they introduced Genie Plus in Disney World, Disneylanders had a little easier time with it because it is very heavily based on their Max Pass. They used to have something called Max Pass, and it was really quite similar to what Genie Plus is. So they're used to it out there. Their pricing is a little different. It's $25 a day, but what's great about that is it includes Memory Maker, which I think that's just an amazing inclusion to then get Memory Maker along with your Genie Plus purchase. So that's great. You can also, something that's also different there is you can add it ahead of time. You cannot do that in Disney World anymore. So like when I'm booking a package for somebody for Disneyland, I can add their tickets and go ahead and put Genie Plus on their tickets. So they've already got it. So when you get there and, you know, it's your morning or whatever, you don't have to worry about, oh God, we got to buy it still. Nope, you've already got it. And you've locked in the price, because who knows what they're going to, you know, when they may change this price. So you've already got the $25 per day price per person. So that is what's different about Genie Plus out there. So I'm just trying to think real quick. One thing I will mention, because as you guys know, I always mention the whole celiac thing. Disney World, absolutely phenomenal with that. Allergies, dietary needs. Disneyland is very good as well. They are not quite as good as Disney World, where I'd give Disney World an A+. I'd give Disneyland maybe an A-. Certainly better than, you know, just about anywhere else you can go. But it's not quite the same. But they're very good. You know, I can go there and be comfortable and, you know, not worry about, oh God, are they going to, you know, handle this? They do. It's just not quite the same level as Disney World. You might want to do a little more, you know, research ahead of time as, you know, what's available in certain places. And for whatever reason, they're not quite as forthcoming. Like, I don't know why they want to like keep some of these things a secret, but it's like, I happen to know if you go to Blue Bayou restaurant in New Orleans Square, which is a very, very popular restaurant because it's where you sit, it's always twilight and you watch the boats, people go by on the boats going into Pirates of the Caribbean. So, I mean, my goodness, talk about, you know, ambiance, but you can get a gluten-free Monte Cristo, fried Monte Cristo. But you have to order it. Like, I ordered mine the day before. And it's like, if you don't know this stuff, you know, so it's like, it's good to do a little research ahead of time. But again, they accommodate. I had chefs come out and talk to me, you know, let me know what they could do, and which is usually just about anything. And they'll, if like when I went to a buffet, they would just bring a plate out to me from the back so I didn't have to worry about cross-contamination, you know, all that same kind of stuff. So that was really great.
But see that right there. I mean, that's a good point too, because if you're used to going to Walt Disney World, mm-hmm. you know, having a travel agent that mm-hmm. is knowledgeable in not just the Disney, but like the real deep dive of everything that Disney sells, you know, you can benefit from things like you've experienced with the food allergies, because I mean, and I don't have it. I may be lactose intolerant, but who knows at this point? I just deal with it. You just kind of ignore it. But, you know, if you're having to put in orders a day ahead of time, people who don't go aren't going to know that. So all in all, I mean, to anybody that's still doing Disney without a travel agent, just, you know, if it's not one, somebody from FTJ, which it should be, we think it should be, but if it's not, find a good mm-hmm. reputable travel agency out there that, you know, really does focus on Disney if you're going to do it, if it's not Fairytale Journeys Travel.
Right, and again, it's included, it's there, you are paying for it, so
you
cannot get the full value of your trip unless you use a travel advisor. It's not possible. And while, you know, listen, I don't know every single thing, every detail, I know a bunch, you know, just from even just going there, you know, and experiencing it. And Disney World, they'll have on their menus, like on their app, they'll show a lot of allergy stuff. Whereas on the Disneyland app, it'll be like, ask at the location, which, okay, fine. Listen, again, like I said, that's still better than most places and they will accommodate. Now, some people, one of the days I was in Disneyland, almost saw a grown woman cry because at Galactic Grill in Tomorrowland, they have this egg sandwich, gluten-free, that I was able to get last time. I loved it. It was amazing. I was so looking forward to it. And then when we went this time, we went to do our mobile order and it wasn't there. And I held it together. But when we walked up to the window and I, out of desperation, I was like, it's not on the menu. They're like, oh no, but you can still order it. Oh my God. It was amazing. So that was awesome. But it's like, but why isn't it on the menu? Well, all right, fine. It's not. So
it never hurts to ask. That's the kind of
thing. Right. You just got to ask. So.
And the other thing too, I want to say is, because you guys were mentioning about like, you know, the perks of also having an agent. Beyond that, I mean, again, just bringing it back to FTJ. For those that listened to the Disney Cruise Line episode and heard our wonderful FTJ agent, Laura Greco, speak, I mean, we have such a great support system within FTJ, and there is so much, and we've talked about it with Walt Disney World, we talked about it pretty much everything, but there's just so much all the time, constantly changing, so many details, hidden Mickeys, you know, and, you know, having an agent has a benefit in of itself, but having an agent such as an FTJ agent with such a great support system where we can discuss and have those active conversations with one another to be able to give the best advice and just the best experience for any and all of our clients wherever you go. But of course, a place like Disneyland, I mean, it really speaks volumes. So I just wanted to say that too, because I think it's important. It really does help. I mean,
I couldn't that network. More. And because when you book with one of us, there's 250 Fairy Tale Journeys agents. And like I said, you can't know everything, but you know what? Somebody does.
So, yep, exactly.
And we're such a supportive group. There is no gatekeeping whatsoever. I mean, zero. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's here. This is it. This is your answer. It's amazing. Like, I can't tell you. It's so funny because I've been doing this 8 years and yet I'll get questions where I'm like, I have never been asked this question before. Like, it'll be a totally new question, you know? And if need be, I can go and say, hey, listen, does anybody have experience with this? Oh, yes. When we did it, it was this. And you've got your answer. It's incredible. So no, that is a huge point. It really is. It's not like you're booking with one person. We have a whole support system because Disney's huge, you know, all the destinations, there's just no way to know it all. And it changes, my God, even once you do know everything, oh, okay, let's change everything. So it's just not possible. But no, so, that is a really good point.
So speaking about those changes, because unfortunately, and again, well, I guess it's fortunate, but unfortunate. Disney's always adding and changing and of bringing us all the goodies all the time, new goodies. And so, unfortunately, after you left, there was a couple of new things introduced that, unfortunately, you weren't able to experience at the time. But, right. And that was the opening of San Francisco from Big Hero 6. If you've seen that movie, great movie. I love it. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you haven't. I've seen a lot of bloggers and people discuss the Baymax sourdough bread. Have you guys seen those pictures?
Yep.
So oh my gosh, it's adorable. A lot of people have already started raving about that. And then the other thing too, Kara, I don't think it was open when you went, but correct me if I'm wrong. It was the opening of Tiana's Palace, the restaurant.
Oh God, we missed that by like days. Yeah. Yeah. I could see the top of it. It still had construction walls up. It looked beautiful. So yeah, I was bummed to miss that for sure. But that's the thing. I mean, it's so funny because I posted on my page the other day about Journey of Water in Disney World in Epcot officially opening October 16th. And of course, people are like, oh, we're just going to miss it. You're always just going to miss something. Always. Because there's always, you know, new stuff. So when we went last August, Toontown wasn't open. And that was such a bummer. But we got to go to Toontown this time. And that was so exciting. And we loved it. It's so cool. I was so happy. My kids finally got to go through Mickey's house, through Minnie's house, through Goofy's house. Like, that's something that they had never gotten to do. And so that was a big thing. They have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway there. So, and even though that ride is the same, the queue is longer and it's got all these really cool movie posters. You love it because it's all like movies that we know, but they've made them into like Disney themed. It's so cute. And so yeah, like all that kind of stuff, but you're absolutely right. We just missed San Francisco and that was a bummer because we love Big Hero 6. Absolutely love it. It's such a great movie. But yeah, there's always going to be something. So, and that's why you've just got to go back.
Completely agree. And that's why I keep going back to Walt Disney World because it's just so close. I just can't help myself.
How could you not?
Right. So I know that it's the nostalgia factor for you. It's, you know, Walt's dream. It's his, you know, his park. But what would be your favorite thing about Disneyland, would you say? First thing that pops to your mind.
Again, the ease and just it's such a cool feeling of I know this, I recognize it, but it's different. Like I feel at home, but there's so much that's different that it's so fun to do all this different stuff. Like again, I love Pixar Pier. It's not only is it fun, I just think it's such a cool area. And we don't have that, you know, we don't have anything like that. Lamplight Lounge, which is a restaurant there in Pixar Pier. Oh my God. It may be my favorite restaurant in Disneyland. Absolutely love it. And it's just so nice that to get to experience it there. But yeah, the ease. I mean, it's just, we always get park hoppers because it's like being in one big park. I mean, that's kind of what it's like because it's you don't have to be like, all right, well, we got to think about the time it's going to take to get. No, walk across. I mean, it's so easy. And, you know, again, I always sing the praises of park hoppers, but, you know, it makes the dining so much easier because, again, if I want to try and grab a Lamplight Lounge, I don't want to worry about, well, we're only going to be in California Adventure, you know, Tuesday and Thursday. No, we can go there any afternoon we want, you know, or whatever. We can hop back and forth. So grab Lamplight Lounge whenever, or if I can get Blue Bayou, or if I can get, you know, you don't have to worry about that. And then you just go back and forth. It's so nice. But yeah, if you ask my youngest, because I've said to my boys, you know, which is your favorite? And my 9-year-old said Disneyland. And I said, why? He said, all the detail. But he's a Walt guy. He is a pure Walt guy. I mean, he'll just watch Walt documentaries like on his own. So he loves it. And he loves Alice. So the Alice in Wonderland ride is just, that's why he gets on the plane to fly out there.
So if you had to choose between Disneyland and Disney World.
Can't do this. Like choosing between my children. Like, no, you can't.
Everybody has a favorite.
I mean, I
theme park. Everybody has a favorite theme park.
I would have to say Disney World only because there's more. You know, there's more to do. But
okay. So let me narrow it down then. Disneyland or the Magic Kingdom. Because those two are the two, you know, original parks for those two. So make it a little bit easier.
Oh, this is terrible.
Oh, God. So which one and why?
Okay. All right. Okay. You know what I'll do? This is what I'll do. I'll break it down. I would take Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland for sure. Although, boy, that egg sandwich at Galactic Grill is awesome. I wish they had one in Tomorrowland at Disney World. Although I will say Autopia in Disneyland is better, far superior to Tomorrowland Speedway. See, this is the thing you can't. But Disney World Disneyland, has fun.
Disneyland or Magic
Tomorrowland
Kingdom?
Tomorrowland is Disney World.
No. Don't tear it apart. Disneyland. No. Disneyland as a whole, Magic Kingdom as a whole.
I can't do it for our listeners. I can't. My heart is breaking. I can't do it. Nope.
They are just that good.
Yeah.
So with that, I mean, we have, does Disneyland have nighttime entertainment? Because I mean, Walt Disney World, they're still kind of working with their nighttime entertainment. They got Fantasmic at Studios. They got Happily Ever After at Magic Kingdom. Epcot's got Epcot Forever, but the new show coming in December. So does Disneyland or California Adventure have nighttime entertainment?
That is a great, great question. One of the very best things about our trip last year was we got to see Main Street Electrical Parade. My God, I felt like I was seven. Like, it was the music. Oh my God. It was the turtle came by and like it was amazing. Amazing. But then it closed. That was like, we saw that like 10 days before the last performance, mm-hmm. which again was another reason I was hoping that they were going to announce it coming back to Disney World, and they didn't. But unfortunately, that's not even in Disneyland anymore. But they do have a fireworks show. We did not see it, but I just saw somebody the other day post that the Disneyland fireworks show is better than Happily Ever After, which those are fighting words, and I can't.
I highly doubt it.
Listen, I did hear though about the Disneyland show that like Baymax flies, something it seems pretty amazing. I did not see it, so I cannot provide insight. But when you're comparing a Disney show to a Disney show, it's like, you know, it's a no lose situation. Now I will say, Fantasmic in Disneyland, it was better, but it's not there right now because poor Maleficent burned up and it's not coming back until the spring. And even when it does come back, literal dragon toast.
Thank you.
So it's going to be back. We don't know what, you know, in what capacity Maleficent will have a presence, because in Disney World, she's not. It's the head. She's not what she was in Disneyland anyway. So we were so lucky to get to see that. But we'd seen Fantasmic in Disney World before. But then when we saw it in Disneyland, there were parts where we gasped. Like, it was, and it's amazing because if you look at it, so this takes place in Disneyland. The stage is so small. What they're able to do with this little stage is incredible. I'm like, how are they making this huge show with this tiny little stage? Now, where Disney World is superior is the seating, the amphitheater. It has a dedicated, huge amphitheater with seats. In Disneyland, you're like, if you do a dining package, which gives you, you know, special seating area, you are sitting on the concrete ground, which, I'm sorry. Listen, you see my gray hair? I am getting, the listeners can't. I have gray hair. I am too old to sit on the hard concrete ground for like an hour. You know, it's just yikes. So it was worth it. I'm so glad we saw it. But boy, oh boy, the Disney World Amphitheater is so much better seating wise.
You're saying that the Disneyland Fantasmic is better.
The show itself, yes. Is superior.
I've heard that too a few times. Yeah. I'll be honest.
My boys
were like, oh, that's better if there's not a show.
What'd you say, Brooks?
Better if there's not a show right now.
True.
Well, that's what I was meant. Like, when it was there, yeah, it was better. And again, it's coming back in the spring, but it will not be at its full power.
It's a shell with a shelf.
So, but there were, I don't want to spoil, you know, and leave some things organic, but there were parts of it that they don't have in the Disney World show. So, but anyway, California Adventure has World of Color, which is a beautiful, beautiful show.
I've heard great
show. Things. Oh, it's beautiful. So again, that takes place on Pixar Pier. The big, huge Mickey Ferris wheel is the backdrop. And it's all these little fountains of water that come up and they light them up with all these different colors. It's gorgeous. And then, you know, they do the projections on the water and, you know, the whole thing. Totally, definitely worth checking out.
So World of Color or Happily Ever After?
Oh, Happily Ever After. World of Color, it probably made me cry. Listen, everything makes me cry. But
as long as it makes me teary-eyed or misty-eyed, then I think it's a good show. If it doesn't.
But it's good. It was so different. It was really, I mean, it sounds silly because it's right there in the name, but the color, it's beautiful. It makes for such gorgeous pictures. I think if you looked on my phone, I think I have like 200 pictures of World of Color because it's so beautiful. But yeah, so definitely worth checking out. And again, that, you know, it's also just, there's no actual seats. That area is a little better. It's a little bigger. There's a virtual queue you can join at some point during the day if you're in California Adventure to stand in like a certain area, which we did, and that was great. But I think even if you don't, it's not as big. The water area isn't as big as Epcot, but it's similar to it in that there's a lot of good vantage points. You know, it's not like, oh shoot, we didn't get this perfect spot. No.
So is it like Epcot where it doesn't matter where you are around World Showcase, you'll see it and you'll see it pretty good?
You want to be, you know, facing the Ferris wheel, you know, it's not okay. Like you want to be like behind it. So it's not quite, mm-hmm. but it's not as, you know, with Happily Ever After where you're like, oh God, we got
to
be able to see.
And there's plenty of trees to like block your view.
Yeah no. And so similar to, what's it called? Phantasmic. There is a mist zone because they, you know, they spray the water and that's where they project onto. So if you're super close, you're going to get wet.
So Illuminations or World of Color?
See, now you're bringing in the nostalgia for me, the Illuminations where I'm like,
Or Harmonious or World of Color.
Harmonious. World of Color over Harmonious. Sorry, Kel.
I'm going to see myself out.
World of Color and Illuminations pretty even.
Now, what about parades? What about the parades at Disneyland?
They have.
Ooh, yes.
They have. Oh, God. What parades do they have? Why am I like blanking right now? Oh, yes. What am I saying? Oh, my God. They have Magic Happens, which we didn't get to see last year because I don't think it was back yet. And we got to see this year. Oh, it was a big deal because my 11-year-old will sit and watch Magic Happens on YouTube on repeat. He loves that show, the music, so we finally got to see it in person. It's so good. It's really, really good. Now, this actually, I did a dining package for it. I'll do a super, super quick overview. This is at Plaza Inn. You can make a reservation at Plaza Inn, and then you get credentials. I actually could have shown you one that will get you into, you can sit in right in the where the flag is, in the middle of town square, in that, you know, the area right around the flag. And that's the only way you can sit in there is if you do with the dining package. So we did do it. Again, Plaza Inn only has characters for breakfast. So you go and eat there, but there's no characters. And it's a prefix. It's like a certain set meal. I liked it. My boys are super, super picky. Thankfully, it was like chicken tenders, but it was, God forbid, mashed potatoes instead of french fries. So, that was a whole thing. But anyway, I thought it was good. And then, you know, you can go sit in your certain area. There's two shows. I'm pretty sure it was three. And I believe it was like six. We did the second one. And what's great about it is because I'm so used to Disney World where the parades start back, you know, by Tiana's. With now Tiana's and come down eventually to Main Street. It starts right there next to the firehouse. So they come out, maybe not next to the firehouse, on the other side. So you're the first one. They circle around and then they go up Main Street. So that was great because I'm like, oh, we don't have to wait. It's right here. Beautiful, amazing music, amazing songs, awesome characters. It ends with Sleeping Beauty because you're in Disneyland, you know, she's the big deal. It's Sleeping Beauty Castle, all of that. So yeah, that was so great to see in Magic Happens. The dining package, you know, if you want to have a set area and not worry about where you're going to sit, yeah, do it. But I was like, we didn't have to do this because where the people were sitting, you're facing the train station. And then there were people sitting just kind of like in front of the train station and all along. Now, granted, we were there in August, mid-August, so it wasn't a super busy time. We would have been fine just sitting wherever. If you're there like Christmas or spring break or like a really busy time, then okay, yeah, then it may have been more worth it to do that reserved area. But I think as a general rule, not really necessary. Awesome parade.
It's all good to know.
Yeah, sure. It seemed a little bit shorter than Festival of Fantasy. But awesome.
And how would you say the crowds are compared to
Question, Brooks, because this is what I noticed about Disneyland. Again, so we were there August 11th to the 18th. So we went 5 days in the parks. And it was the crowds were not bad until like the afternoon, evening, because here's the thing. Disneyland is a local park. You know how Epcot gets on the weekends during the festivals? That's Disneyland. every day, like in the afternoon, evening. So it is, you know, I always say it's a good strategy to do early entry, you know, get in there, do your rides, like before the crowds build, because by the time it hit like maybe 4, 5, 6, it was crowded, even though it's not like a super crowded time of year. I'd be like, oh my God, where did all these people come from? It's like
the locals, just noticeable
difference. So yeah, it's a local park. So people totally come after work.
So I have two questions. Mm-hmm. One, what are the park hours there? Mm-hmm. And two, what are the perks of staying on like a Disneyland property resort versus a Good Neighbor hotel? Like at Walt Disney World, we have mm-hmm. the 30-minute early entry for the parks. What kind of perks do you have there? And then are there any, I guess a third question would be, what kind of after hours or special ticketed events do they have at Disneyland that are popular perhaps?
Super great questions. The hours are similar. They basically opened at 9, early entry was 8:30. Now, again, because it is, I guess, a local park, it stays up late. They party out there in Disneyland. It's open to like midnight every night practically.
Wow. Yeah. I wish.
It was like, well, because they get such an influx of people, it's like almost a second half, you know, of
that's
like the
awesome.
Day. It is.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know, you're in Disney World, it's like, oh, closes at 9, closes at 10, unless it's like the summer.
Which wasn't the case, but like, I did not. I know that there were times where we had midnight, you know,
100%
closing days, and those were fun.
I remember being in Magic Kingdom in front of the castle, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Of course, that's all
that
Black Disney.
That late, but.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, no, it was typically open until like midnight. It's a late park. Now, when it's been this way, I think since it reopened, where is if you stay in a Disney hotel, you get early entry every day, both parks. Starting next year, I forget the exact date, but sometime in 2024, I believe, they're going back to, it used to alternate, and they're going back to that. So one morning it'll be early entry in California Adventure. One morning it'll be early entry in Disneyland. So people are going to have to start paying attention to that again. I love that about Disney World, that you don't have to pay attention. Again, the less I have to think, the better. So
of course,
to just have all the parks have early entry is so great. Disney now, you know, Disneyland, it's only two parks. So it's a little more manageable, but one day it's going to be one it's to be the other. And quite frankly, that is like, pretty much like the perk of staying at one of the Disney hotels, other than the awesome, amazing theming and customer service and being at a Disney hotel. And it's come back to Disneyland where if you buy something in the park, you can have it sent to your resort.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big perk.
I love that.
Nice.
That has not come back
I
to
do.
Disney World. So it'll come the next day. It doesn't like, it's not like, same day, but it'll get there the next day, which is so great. So if you've bought something kind of big and cumbersome and you're, you know, in the morning and you're like, oh, I don't want to carry this thing around all day, you can have it sent to your resort and it'll be there the next day. Disney World, let's get with it. What's going on? Come on. You got to bring that back.
I agree.
So that's one of the things, but the Good Neighbor hotels, again, they're in Disneyland. They're much more similar to, you know, a regular Disney hotel than they are with Disney World. You get, when you book a package, you get a free lanyard, because again, the Magic Band technology has not caught up. So people put their tickets in there that, you know, they wear the little lanyard and you get a free pin. So that's cute and fun. There's a couple places in Disneyland where you can go pick that up.
You had me at the pin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Free pin. It's
wow.
And you see how unprepared I am
in
all this stuff. Of course, only you guys would be able to see it, but
I got mine right there. See,
there's that pin board
right up there.
Pretend I'm holding up like the lanyard, like I'm super prepared. But yeah, so that's pretty much the extent of it. And yeah, the closeness, especially of California, Grand Californian. And actually, I believe Pixar Place has an entrance into California Adventure as well. So that kind of thing. But just, you know, the being in the quote unquote bubble, even though the bubble is much smaller, people do very much like being in that bubble. Oh, and then you asked
absolutely.
About after hours. So, you know, we didn't do anything like that. And they don't as much because, again, it's open. It's just open late. They do have, so Disney World has Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Disneyland has Oogie Boogie Bash, which could be its own thing, which I think we are actually. Aren't we going to do a podcast on Oogie Boogie at some point?
I hope so.
Yes, that is the plan.
Yeah, because this party is, again, fewer dates, like everything else at Disneyland. It's, you know, it's smaller, but it's awesome. The characters it has, it's a hot ticket because it's an amazing party. So, yeah.
And what about park reservations? Do they have that? Because they only have two parks?
Yes. You have to make park reservations, and they have not said anything. So Disney World announced park reservations are going away for date-based tickets January 9th, 2024. Disneyland has made no such announcement. We can only hope that that will be the case. And I just thought of something else that is superior at Disneyland. And again, I wish Disney World would get it together. Park hopping starts at 11. Whereas Disney World, it starts at...
Just do away with
it. Do away with it.
I mean, especially if, say, a bear just happens to show up.
It's crazy example.
You know, hypothetically.
A bear showed up one day. I said that today. This should inspire Disney World to get rid of the time restriction, because then people can be like, oh, all right, we'll go somewhere else.
This might seem a little silly to say, but for our listeners, this episode is dropping on what day? It's like
September
20th. This was recorded 2 days before on September 18th when this whole
bear
debacle occurred, so that's why it's fresh in our minds.
Bear task, what is it? It's not a catastrophe, but a bear task, something like that.
So there is a whole lot more. Like, even I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, and there's this, but listen, we were already at an hour. There's so much more I could talk about, but the point is, Disneyland, absolutely amazing, its own thing. 100% worth the trip. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, we'll just go there for a couple days. Mm-mm. We do 5 every time we're there. There's so much to do. It's totally worth it. Settle in, notice everything. There's so much to notice.
And I want to say one more thing. I know that, like you said, Kara, there's just so much that needs to be said, but really there's just not enough time to, especially with how passionate we can be about these topics. But one thing that I wanted to mention was the fact that what maybe some of our clients or our listeners don't know is that if you're really into like the history or just more about the Walt Disney Company, something that you could also do and potentially complement a Disneyland trip is an Adventures by Disney expedition, a land expedition, I think is what they're called.
I've looked into this one.
Mm-hmm. And where you go and you go to the Walt Disney Animation Studio, they take you to the parks, they take you behind the scenes. Like, it's basically this private tour and you get to
just
do...
Just take me to the animation studios.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to so badly. Yeah. It's a dream of mine. Mm-hmm. But what's just so cool is, you know, you get this unique experience to see Disney, the Disney Company, mm-hmm. not just Disneyland, the park, but the Disney Company, in a different way. And again, we've always talked about Disneyland or the Disney Company and Adventures by Disney being so good at storytelling. This is just one way to learn way more about the company and its roots and origins and how far 100%. They've come. And it would be, you know, I know some agents that have done that and they've fully, fully recommended it. And I recommend it to anyone who's potentially looking at doing a Disneyland trip, but they're interested in doing maybe something more than just the parks. Mm-hmm. This would be a great option for you. And of course, best to do with an FTJ agent.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Now, I do want to say just one more quick thing, because this is such a benefit of Disneyland. If you want to step back in time a little bit and, you know, what kind of want to do the old school Disney, Disneyland is the place to do it, because characters still walk around. if you've got little wow. kids that are still like, yes, that is, you know, the Mad Hatter. Yes, that is Pinocchio. You know, that they're fully in that place still. Disneyland is the place to go, because we'd be walking through somewhere. Oh, like, there's Belle, or, oh, hey, there goes Alice. Like, oh, Gaston walked up to my husband and they took a selfie. Like, this happens in Disneyland. You can totally see the characters in Disney World, obviously, but it's more usually like, okay, we have to go here. We have to stand in this line. We have to do that. Disneyland, keep your eyes open, because they're everywhere. They just pop up out of nowhere. It's so cool. It's, again, it's just, it's a little that kind of more nostalgia, that little more old school, that little more, you know, magic.
That streetmosphere. 100%.
And they also have just amazing. That in California Adventure. It's funny. There's this little area of California Adventure, Carthay Circle, where it feels a little bit like Hollywood Studios. You know, it's the old school California when Walt arrived in 1923, like that whole thing. And they do. They still have streetmosphere. They still have like a mayor walking around and a policeman, and like they used to have.
I love that.
Yes, they have that there. So. Again.
I want them to bring it back. I remember I was so excited when I did, just an interjection because it just makes me so for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, just walking around and seeing characters walking around with you and just mm-hmm. all this different interaction that you don't get on a regular day. Mind you, of course, during the day, it's just normally typically really crowded, and I just don't know how they can do some of the stuff that they can do at some of these special ticket events. But regardless, just that streetmosphere, like you mentioned, that they used to do in Hollywood Studios and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, it just, it takes your experience that much more higher. Mm-hmm. And it's like the little things, because those interactions mean so much, at least for someone like me, and I know it can mean a lot to a lot of people too. Just that immersion, right? So, gosh, that's amazing that they have that still in Disneyland.
We were in California Adventure one day, and my husband, my oldest, went to do some things. It was me and my youngest. We got Starbucks, which they have there in that area, and we walked down the street. It was early, so it was empty. We sat on a bench, and there was a trolley right there, because they have a trolley that runs through that area, and out walked Mickey Mouse.
Oh, my heart.
Into the trolley. We you know, there was obviously a few cast members around. It was me, my son, and Mickey Mouse. It was incredible.
Pure Disney
pictures?
Magic.
Oh, yeah.
I think we want to see pictures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Facebook wants to see them, Kara.
Yeah, I'll find those and put them in the group.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Well, I can't wait to go to Disneyland one day. That's for sure. Hopefully for D23 next year.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I'm manifesting this.
Oh, yeah. And super quick for the people who've been waiting for it, Run Disney has come back to Disneyland. Again, whole other topic, but my God, people have been waiting and praying for this for so long, and Run Disney is finally back in Disneyland. So, yay.
With beautiful medals.
Yes, they revealed them today.
Medal, my day. Anybody else? All right. Well, I guess that is going to about do it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Just like we had mentioned, don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group. Also, check out our Instagram that we have, the Mouse Ears blog, for all the latest news and episode details. If you're interested in having one of our wonderful agents book your next trip, go ahead and visit us at fairytalejourneystravel.com, or you can send us a DM. So we all have social media. Brooks, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Brooks. You can find me on Instagram and on TikTok, FTJ by Brooks. And Joffrey's and Voodoo Donuts, you can find me at FTJ by Brooks@gmail.com.
There we go.
Kara, thank you. on Facebook and on Instagram, Fairy Tale Journeys by Kara, Kara with a K, and on TikTok, Diz Kara, DIS_Kara.
And Steph,
you can find me on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Stephanie Perrette Gentile, and on Instagram at FTJ by Stephanie PG. Kelton, what about you? Can you remember it this time?
I absolutely can. Facebook by Fairy Tale Journeys by Kelton, and TikTok and Instagram at FTJ Travel by Kelton. Lastly, if you enjoy listening to us, which we hope you do, we'd love to have you guys leave us a review on wherever you listen to these episodes. Could be Spotify podcast, Google podcast, or Apple podcast. So give us a rating, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Until the next episode, we hope to see you on the Facebook group, Mouse Ears Podcast. And until then, y'all have a good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Beware of the bears.